If you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me to Philippians, the third chapter. We'll be reading from there in just a minute, some words from Paul. Before I begin, this is our homecoming, and it's always great to go back. And so many of you have come back and been with us. You know, we had our big celebration on the 60th, and we'll do another big celebration on the 65th. But every year that we celebrate homecoming is always great to have folks come back and be with us. So we thank you for being here. Homecoming is something interesting. I just went back from my 50th high school reunion. I know I don't look that old. It was hard to believe after 50 years, and my class got on a float parade. We were on a float in the homecoming parade of that high school, and the guys who were in the 40th anniversary float, they looked worse than we did. So we took great comfort in that, knowing they did. And after going there and looking around, I want to tell you that I really realized that I've made my greatest investment. And I didn't really realize until I'd after been there, went to my class reunion and saw those other people that had been there 50 years earlier, and also a couple of girls that I dated. And I just want to tell you that I walked away from there thinking that my investment in my wife was a wise one. And probably the best day's work I've done in a long time. Some of those other gals there were very nice. But my wife was just, I think, my best investment. It was interesting to see how things had changed over the years. I noticed that nothing was the same, except those of us that gathered in that room for our float, and then we went back for dinner that night and saw some pictures and laughed about things we did in school. I realized that over the years, not only did that school change and things weren't the same, because the most famous restaurant in that state closed down, Twix and Tween Cafe, that served the best inside barbecue sandwich you've ever tasted in your life. It was the hub of activity. It was gone. The school that I graduated from was now a locker room and a training place. There were no more students there. It had burned several years ago, and they restored it some, but it built a beautiful new high school. As I walked around the new high school, I wondered, I just didn't feel like I was quite at home. But when we got together that night telling those old stories and some of the stunts we pulled and some of the things we nearly got expelled for, I know y'all can't believe it, I realized that many of my classmates had come back for that 50th reunion to see me, and I was greatly honored. They came to see me because they couldn't believe I'd become a preacher. But I had two scoundrels in my class named Jimmy McDaniel and McHale. I've forgotten his first name now, but I looked at them and I said, well, if you two are deacons, I can sure be a preacher. Because they were worse than I was. But homecomings are a wonderful thing as we reminisce about what goes on. Paul was like this in the scripture we read, thinking about his life in the past. We find here in this particular passage that Paul is in prison again, and he's looking at many things in his life and going over some things, and he gives us some great words about homecomings, about thinking about the past and today and the future, and I hope that you will share that with me this morning as we share God's word together. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of God's word from Philippians, the third chapter, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider any myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward that which is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. May God and his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. I think if we check in with what Paul's saying today in Philippians 3, 12 through 15, we need to keep in mind as we look at these verses again, as I remind you that Paul was in prison, and he was falsely accused, but he was in chains, and he was bound not just once, but he's been this way several times. And Paul is about to reveal to us to his secret for the fullest life that you can live, even when life seems like it's falling apart. Philippians 3, 12 through 14, Paul puts himself in the condition where he believes there is more that we can do in life. It's where he realized we are not finished. No matter where we are in our life or what we're about or what we're involved in, we are not finished. Therefore, tomorrow has much in store for us. He believed that his God was able. Paul says at the beginning, I have not arrived. Then he says, but one thing I do. Let me rephrase that statement. He says, I have pulled together all my thoughts, all my goals, my purposes, and shaped them into a single goal, a single purpose. And that single purpose that he has focused his life on is pressing forward, keeping his eye on the mark, running the race to win the prize. We find again in Philippians 3, 13b, it says, but one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind and straining what is ahead. I press on, he says, toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And I would like to rephrase this paragraph in three couplets. The first one is, forget yesterday. That's what Paul's saying. Forgetting what is behind. Forgetting those things sometimes is very hard to do for each of us. Yet life is less than what it can be if we carry around a load of yesterdays. They burden us down. This is especially true if you're carrying around guilt or sin in your life or something that keeps rising up in you that keeps you from having that joy that is complete. Something that has happened in your life that keeps you down. Something in life that has happened to you that keeps you from being able to press forward to focus on the future. God says that all your sins are forgiven if you confess them. He says he is faithful to forgive you of your sins. And he is the authority which has forgiven you. I said forgiven you. He is the authority that has forgiven you, has removed the sins as far as the east is from the west. So Paul tells us that we are to forget those things, the things of the past which hold us down or like weights around us that keep us from being all that God wants us to be. Now, Paul did not mean that we should erase all those things from our minds, but if you look at verses 4b through 7, you're reminded how Paul was recalling some of those things from yesterdays of his life. He hadn't erased them from his mind. Listen to him. He said, if someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, he says, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. You see, this Paul had confidence that nothing mattered in his old life. His accomplishments, they were garbage. They did nothing. His sins, they were nothing. God removed them from east from the west. What is important is that I have my eyes focused on the goal that God has in front of me. This is the idea and the purpose of life that God has given all of us. We too can say the same thing. What is more, he says, I consider it loss, and we should too. He made a conscious refusal to let his accomplishments or his sins impede his progress into looking into the future and being all that God wanted him to be that day and every day forward. Today, Cherry Point Baptist Church celebrates 63 years of ministry in Havelock, North Carolina. Praise God. Thank God. It is right that we celebrate what God has done in your past and what he is doing. But then we must move on with God with the knowledge that God is able to do exceedingly more abundantly than we ever could imagine. It is good that we glorify God by remembering that he has blessed this church with godly people throughout the years who have made the great sacrifice and who have been obedient to his word. Because of them, we're here today in this building and in this facility. But what was done to build this church 63 years ago might not work today. It was a church started by committed Christians who desired to make an impact for Christ in this community. They succeeded because God was with them and used them. And every generation since then, this church has a great history. However, the past is not a place to stop and look around, but a place to build upon. We cannot use things that built our past necessarily to build a future. The fundamentals are the same. The gospel is the same. The word of God is the same. People still have sin. All of those fundamentals have not changed, but the way that we reach people may be much different today than we did 63 years ago. Paul did not let his failures or his successes obstruct his present running of God's race for him, and nor should we. Paul could not change the past, and nor can we. But he could build upon the past by refocusing on the present and the future. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the first verse reads, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and that sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Have you ever noticed people that run a 3K, a 5K, a 10K, or a marathon? I've never seen one of them start off backwards. They all run forward. Amazing. Except once when I was in the... People always look toward the goal when they get ready to run the race. They have trained. They are focused. They're excited. They even have the carbo load the night before. And they get ready and their eye is on the finish. And when that gun is sounded, they are off. They have been ready in position to finish that goal. And we as Christians should take this visual and make it work in our lives as well. Run the race that God has for us. The race is now, and it's time to run our best. And as we face the new days that come to us in the future, as this wonderful church faces another year or another leg of our journey in Christ, we should not hold back from running this race with perseverance. I want to tell you about an illustration I read online about a church that had on their stationery, as they sent it out at the very bottom, the oldest Baptist church in the state. They had a young preacher come there, and he thought, "Well, I don't know about that." So he changed the stationery. He said, "Serving Christ since 1844. And was there for several years until that preacher went, and somebody in the church went back and changed it to the oldest Baptist church in the state. And today it is still the oldest Baptist church in the state, and it's barely surviving and only surviving on some of the funds that people left the church, because there's nobody going there, or very few. More than that, let me share with you that 77% of the evangelical churches across America are dying. They're folding up because many of them have glorified their past and glorified and remembered those things that were great, and they lost the vision of today and the vision of tomorrow. And I will tell you that that is a dangerous thing. And Paul is telling us that we must keep our eye on the race, on the end, all that God has for us, wherever it is. We cannot live in the past, but we must press forward as Paul instructs. Everything that has happened in our church in the past 63 years, good and bad, will help us run today's race. It is not to weigh us down, but to give us confidence that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask. Paul said, forgetting what is behind, we must build on the accomplishments of the past, but not carry them with us like monuments of what we have done, but we must use them to increase our faith that we are not running this race alone. God is with us, and the knowledge that God is able will keep us. Only Jesus can enable us to let go of our past victories and our past failures in order to get on with the race. And so it is with your life. It's only Jesus that can help you forget the sins of the past that hold you down and that can keep you from glorifying in your past exploits and your past achievements and seeing that the race is before us, the goal is before us, and Christ is calling us. And the race is not run by looking backwards, but instead forward. Too many runners have lost a race by looking back. And as Paul says, we must forget yesterday. And he says the second thing of the couplet is that we must live today. Paul says that he tries as hard as he can, straining toward the goal is what he says. I'm looking. I'm trying to get there. Sometimes it may even be uncomfortable. That strain is not always pleasant. Paul is straining, working, excited about getting there. Paul did not know how many days left he had on this earth. He wanted to run the race. Well, neither do we. I think the Bible clearly states that none of us are assured of tomorrow. Just think in your own family, your own friends, your own life. How many people are not with us today that you thought would live a long time? Life is precious. We are not assured of tomorrow. But there's one thing that God does give us today, and not one of us is promised tomorrow. Yet we often assume that we have plenty of tomorrows when all we have is today. This is the day the Lord hath made. Therefore, be glad in it. It is a gift from God who loves you. Live it to its fullest. Live it abundantly. Live it like God wants you to live. And know that He is with you. And nothing, hear me now, nothing, absolutely nothing shall ever separate you from the love of God. Live today in Him. In Him. Do not say, if things were different, I'd go to church. If things were different, I'd get rid of this. If things were different, I'd be this. If things were a little different, I might go there. Church might do something a little different. I might go more often. Don't be an ifer. Ifer this and ifer that. This is the day that God has given you. He's given to me. This is the place that the Lord has put me in. I'm going to live today where I am. I will tell you, though He doesn't want you to live today guilty, He doesn't want you to live today ashamed or in fear of tomorrow, or He doesn't want you to live today without hope. He wants you to live today in Him. In Him. That you might have life abundantly. You're not responsible to live for anyone else. You're not responsible for their happiness. You're not responsible for anyone's decisions, choices. It's you. You must live life abundantly in Christ. And remember, you're not able. If you try to live it on your own, in your own strength, you're going to fail. You can only live life abundantly in Christ. I want to tell you a short story about the busiest day in the world. The busiest day in the world is someday. Someday I'm going to do this. Someday I'm going to go to on a cruise. Someday I'm going to join the church. Someday I'm going to get on one of those committees and help. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to get a little more. Someday I'm going to do that. You know, I learned about this someday. My mother passed away many years ago now. And one of the things I always remembered about her, she always wanted to go to Hawaii. She'd say, someday I'm going to Hawaii. Someday I'm going to go to Hawaii. She had pictures and she knew people had gone there. I would hear her say, someday I'm going to go to Hawaii. We used to kid her about it and get her a little hula skirt and some things and wear, you know, for fun. She was going to go to Hawaii. She died and she never went to Hawaii. And I remember the first time I went to Hawaii. I could not help but think, Mother, it is beautiful. The weather is great. There's a lot to do here. I wish that that someday had come for you. Sometimes people want to put off the things of God because someday I'll get saved. Someday I'll go to church. Someday I'll be what God wants me to be. But right now I'm having fun. I don't want to do this. I don't want to surrender my life. Well, someday is today. This is the day of your life. This is the day the Lord hath made. He wants you to rejoice and be glad in it. You need to live today where you are. Live today with purpose. I want to tell you the story of a couple, Mr. and Ms. Walker, is told by the famous preacher Harry Emerson Fosdick. This couple tended the Lot House. They were there for many years. And we found that in New York Harbor, they stayed at this Robin's Reef in New York Harbor. After Mr. Walker died, she tended the lighthouse for another 32 years. When she began to retire, a reporter came out to interview her. And she said that when her husband came down with pneumonia many years ago, several people came out to take him to the mainland to get him in the hospital. Several days later, she noticed the boat came back with the news that her husband had died in the hospital. They buried him on a hill there on Robin's Reef while she tended the light. For 32 years, Mrs. Walker would look on that hill and hear her husband say to her what he told her many times before he died. Mary, what's the light? Mary, what's the light? And so she did. She lived in today, always keeping her eyes on the light. In Cherry Point Baptist Church, in our lives, there is a hill out yonder. We sing about it. It is where Jesus died on the cross for our sins, for our rebelliousness, for our lawlessness, and for all the things that we've done wrong. And from the cross, Jesus is calling us to tend the light today, to live for Him. He wants each of us to keep our eye on the light. And that's what Paul is saying here. Wherever I am, whatever circumstances are set before me, I have this great overriding purpose and goal. Paul kept his eye on the light. I want to tell you this morning that only Jesus can give you real purpose for your life. For He is the one who created you in your mother's womb. He is the one that birthed this church 63 years ago. Individuals and as a church, we need to find our purpose in Him. We must keep our eyes on the light, living for Christ every day. Not someday, but today. However, we cannot be content standing still. We have to forget yesterday. We have to live today. And the third couplet is, we must trust tomorrow. There is victory there. Remember the words of Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Instead of worrying about tomorrow, we need to trust tomorrow. But what do I mean by that? First, we need to trust tomorrow to what God can do through us and through our church if we just seek Him, if we just keep our eye on the light, if we just keep our eyes on the goal, the race that is before us. I will tell you that what we really need to be doing is like the student who is having a test at the end of the week, and he wants to pass it. He wants to be an academic success. So what does he do? He studies. He studies and studies in preparation for the test so that he might pass. We find that any salesman works day and night cultivating prospects, cultivating customers so that they can get a commission from sales that they might make a living. They just don't go up and do this. They must cultivate their clientele and work with them, the same as a student if you want to do. And we have to do the same thing as Christians. I will tell you, if we don't, we might not have payday someday like we want. So to be the Christian that God has called us to be, tomorrow means that we must be on our knees today. We must be in the Word of God today. And we must be in community today. We are studying. We are practicing. We are getting lean and mean. We are getting ready for the race that's set before us as we study God's Word, as we pray, and as we love each other so the people will know that we do love one another. I will tell you that there are many ways that I could share this with you, this illustration with you, but let it be said this, or let me say this. We need to keep our eye on the light. God has brought Cherry Point Baptist Church a long ways in these years. Oh, thank you, Father, not to slow down, not to rest, or not to look at the trophy case of yesterday. But God wants us to run the race and to practice those disciplines that we will need to have to move this church forward into the next generation, the next century. Not someday, but today. We as a church must get our eyes on the light. For you see, we are determining our future now. Second, we must trust about tomorrow We do those things tomorrow that we need to do and do those things we need to do today. We can't do everything today, so we look to the future and we ask God to help us get there by faith. God is in tomorrow. And we can trust that when we get tomorrow, He'll be there. In fact, God is in tomorrow and in our future. He's waiting for you individually and for us as a church to meet Him there. In fact, verse 14 says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, if you trust Him just for the next half mile, trust Him for the future. And I promise you, you'll be excited about what He does in your life and in this church. There's a song that I love. It says, there is no problem so big God cannot solve it. There is not a mountain so tall He cannot move it. There is no storm so dark He cannot calm it. There is no sorrow so deep He cannot soothe it. If He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulder and the sins of every man, woman, boy, and girl, I promise you, He can carry you. God is out in the future of Cherry Point Baptist Church, and He will lead us all toward the prize if we do what we're supposed to do. Today, not someday. And He is in our future if we do today, not someday, what He asks us to do. He will lead each of us on toward the prize if we are about His business today, not someday. I pray that we would trust tomorrow it is worth your investment. And as we trust tomorrow, we need to remember that God is able. That's a simple formula. Heeding the words of Paul, we must run the race. We certainly need to remember the past only because it will help us to live in today and get us to tomorrow. But we don't need to relish in our sins. We don't need to relish in our achievements. We need to press on toward the mark. And some of us need to start this new day by trusting Jesus with your life. You may never have trusted Him. Ask Him to come into your life. He will and forgive you of your sins. Some who have been in the stands watching things from afar off and you're a Christian, you need to get in the game. You need to ask God, what do you want me to do? I want to press on toward the future. Some of us need to get in the race. Some of you may say, I want to identify with Cherry Point Baptist Church. And you come this morning and we'll take you by the hand. If you want to make a decision for Christ, you come. If you want to join our church, you come. If you want to come do something in our church and get involved in missions and become a missionary, you come this morning and we will put you to work and let you be a kingdom builder because He wants to use you. God is in your future, but is your future in Him? Let's stand and sing that great hymn, Amazing Grace, number 104. You come as we sing. You come as God leads you this morning. Amazing. Something in the tradition. We've never done this since I've been here. I don't know if Cherry Point Baptist Church has ever done this. But today as we close, you'll see there's a memorial. And I don't know how I want to do this in the future, but But I just thought it was appropriate today as a congregation that we remember those that we lost this year. We've lost several. Mr. Ted Jones, who was a great friend, a great member of this church, the candy man that handed out candy. He lived his life in service to this church every week, and he has been sorely missed. We lost Miss Lois Lee, whose husband was the chairman who built this committee, or this church. She lived across the street, and she watched us always. We will miss her. She was the organist of this church for I don't know how many years, 50? She played the organ here faithfully every week. And finally, Miss Irene Zaccardelli, who is a relatively new member to our church, but planted her life among us and got to know us and loved us, and we loved her. So in closing today, I would just like to pray a prayer for their families and the memorial and remembering those three that we've lost this past year. And I hope in the years ahead we can make this a tradition of remembering people who have served God in this place, who've been kingdom builders. We've had a couple of others who have been longtime attenders of this church who came faithfully every Sunday. Miss Betty Hughes passed away this year, and she was a lovely addition to our church, and we loved to see her in our Sunday school class along. We were greatly aggrieved when she had to move away, and then now she's passed on. So as we close our service today, I'd like for us to remember the great things God has done in our church and the great people that God has brought to our church. Let's pray together. God, our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for all that you've done in our midst. And we pray for these families who lost a loved one this year. And ask, Father, that their work, their kingdom building, that you will help us to remember that for a long time to come. And we thank you for their faithfulness. We thank you for the way that they modeled their life for us, that truly, as they pass from this life into the next, they receive their reward. And Father, we thank you for their legacy, and we thank you for their life. And today, as we are dismissed, we pray for the food that we're about to eat. We ask, Father, as we fellowship around the table, that you bless it to the nourishment of our needs as we continue to let the light of your love shine in our community. And now, Father, go with us and guide us, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray.